So get that donation in as quick as you can, because first come, first serve, we have only one certificate.
And that's for sustaining.
Hi, this is Danette Gorman from HelpSyriasKids.org. We are connecting the Hudson community with a Syrian refugee camp in Ketermaya, Lebanon. You're listening to WGXC ACRA.
WGXC's Essential Radio Pledge Drive continues on Tuesday, October 6th. Tune in to WGXC 90.7 FM for the best in creative community radio, all sorts of interviews about political issues in your community, and all sorts of music from around the corner and around the world with radio art, unexpected sounds, the better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, the Public News Service national news updates, and all sorts of local news, community conversation, and more at WGXC 90.7 FM. Tune in on Tuesday, October 6th for the latest episode of Leprous Garden, the death metal show from Mantis at 8 p.m., and then the Battlefield Earth show from Dan Seward from somewhere in Hudson is live at 10 p.m. on Tuesday, October 6th on 90.7 FM.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk, Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lenox Local in Lenox, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Good evening. You are listening to Tech Talk with Ralph and Bill on WGXC Radio. We are today going to be talking a bit about the Essential Radio Fund Drive, which you can participate in by going to wgxc.org/donate. wgxc.org/donate. Our numbers to call in are 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. And I understand we already have a caller on the line. We have Jessica from California. Good evening, Jessica. You're on with Ralph and Bill.
That's Ralph Collier and Bill Banco. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Jessica. Do you have a question for Tech Talk about some gremlin glitch or other consumer electronic kind of frustration? Because if you do, then let's use it to see if we can play Stump the Collier and try to get Bill Collier like confused, because it's so much fun to watch him, watch his eyes glaze over. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Ralph. Yes, I do have a question.
Jessica,
can you hear me?
Is very quiet this evening.
She is as quiet as a synagogue mouse, which is even quieter
than a church mouse. Can you hear me?
I don't know whether we lost the signal in all those forest fires or whether we just bored her into a state of complete.
Hello?
Hello. Thank you for calling.
Cheery hello.
If you are calling with a life-threatening emergency or fire, hang up now and dial 9.
Yikes. Who's calling their doctor?
Yes, I would. This is Jessica calling back on a landline. Hello?
You?
Yes, I am back, but I'm on a landline. Pretty funny, calling into Tech Talk and not getting through because something happened in the tech verse.
That is eerie. It's Bill Collier's reality distortion field gone haywire again. So welcome
3,000 miles across. Well, thank you. I do have a question.
Mid Hudson Valley, and we're thrilled to hear from you, Jessica from California. What is your question?
So a while ago, my Android phone started yelling at me that it was running out of storage space. So I purchased an SD card with 256 gigabytes. And I thought I was doing fine. And it started yelling at me recently again. It's because I have thousands of pictures, but I don't know how to transfer them from the internal shared storage to the Samsung SD card.
Oh, that's a tough one. Bill?
Yes, it is, and it really depends on your phone. Honestly, getting them transferred from your device over to your phone, you'd have to go into the file manager. You have to click the folder, click cut, and then you have to, now I'm going to tell you this because it's not as simple.
Yeah, but Bill, hold on a second. You've got it backwards.
I'm going to pause it for a second. She's on her phone now, and she wants to get from the device to the computer, or either way, I have all these photos on my phone inside the storage, and I can't figure out how to transfer those from the internal storage to the SD card.
And Bill, in your way up the spectrum kind of way, before you answer her question, would you tell her about the cloud? And tell her about how she might be best off by getting storage on the cloud, which will clear her up brilliantly without having to do a lot of hassle, how much that would cost, and how to go about it. I've got this on my iPhone. I don't know whether dumb little Androids can actually do it too, but you're the Android freak in the family.
Okay, I am the Android genius of the family. So let me answer your first question. The issue with the cloud, it sounds like you really want them on your SD card for your own reasons. So if you're on your Android device...
Wait, well, why don't you ask her if that's true before you assume that it's true? And if she says it's true, then you can launch
off. Thank you, Dad, for the coaching.
You're welcome, son.
You're so awesome.
Jessica, do you want them on your SD card, or would you be happy putting them on your laptop or onto the cloud?
I have a separate tech question about that for my iPad, which I already pay the very reasonable 99 cents a month for cloud storage for the iPad. But this is specifically for my phone. I purchased a larger storage SD card so that I wouldn't go to the cloud with my Android device. So I am asking how to transfer my internal storage phone data to the SD card without involving a third entity or the cloud.
Okay, so it's actually not that difficult. On your Android device, you should have a thing that has files. You can type in. Do you know how to like go to your programs on Android on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I have.
If you search like files, there should be a thing that says files by Google or files. Anything that says files, there should be. And then on the...
Wait, before you get to the end then, Bill, since she's on the landline, she could be doing this in real time. So why don't you walk her through
it? In fact, I am. I have, for example, categories, pictures, audio, videos, zip files.
Okay,
app,
now
documents.
Do you have a thing on the bottom that says, on the bottom left, that says clean?
Not on the menu that I'm looking at right now. But maybe if you help me navigate, I'm on a Motorola Droid Z And I can go back to settings. I can go to my apps and search there. I can go to clean in my photos file, which I think has the majority of the memory storage. If I could have some of my photos stored on the S card, that would probably fix the issue.
Don't tell her to push a button that will delete all her photos, please. That would make her very sad.
I am not going to do that, Mr. Banco. Do calm down.
Props.
So there should be a thing on that. There should be a thing, either that or there should be another thing called storage. It really depends on your phone. So if you don't have it on your phone and it's not showing up as an option, then you have to actually... How old is your phone, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Oh, busted. I am a holder on of technology. I've probably had this version of this phone for 3 or 4 years, okay, which is why... So... I mean, I do hang on to things, but it's working fine. And in fact, once I did... delete some of the items, it stopped yelling at me that the storage was almost full. And the things I deleted, I had no attachment to. They were photos I was happy to clear out of my photo file. But I know it's only a matter of time before I get yelled at by my phone again.
Okay, the other method is it's a little more complicated because you don't have the option. So if you had the option, you literally could have just hit that button, clean, and then transfer to SD, and it just automatically would have done it. Your phone doesn't have the option because it would have been right there in the lower left hand. The other option is to actually
which menu, because I was in files, so I'm not sure which menu, where you expected the word clean to show up. And if you can help me navigate to the right place to find the word clean, I'm happy to look for that.
Okay. Let me find that again here because I just had it.
Mm-hmm. Was it under sure settings or?
Bill, while you're digging through your pixels, I just have a very naive little question. Jessica, who is your telecom provider? Is it Verizon or AT&T or Sprint or what? Or Cricket?
I'm with Verizon.
Okay. So, Bill, if she were to go into a Verizon store with her phone and ask them to do it for her, what do you think would happen?
They probably wouldn't help her.
What if she's exquisitely charming?
She is exquisitely charming, I'm sure. But let me get through this for her. Okay. Jessica, do you have when you go to Files, do you have a program on your phone called Files by Google?
I do not. I have File Manager. And then it's all alphabetical as far as I can tell. Right?
Yep.
So File Manager is followed by other apps with G.
All right, well, here's the cool thing. You can actually go into the App Store. It says Google Play, and type in Files by Google. You can download it. It's free. Put it right on your phone. And then once you're in there, when you click on that, that actually has that option on the it's like as soon as you open it up, you see your options, but there's a thing on the lower left that literally says clean. And that's all you have to do is click clean and then click move to SD.
So,
okay.
But you do want to use that program.
So, Jessica, how would it be if you rang off and did exactly that and then checked it out and then called us back? Because we have another caller holding. But I know Bill is a very sort of high oxytocin kind of guy. And if you would call back in five or 10 minutes, after having downloaded this from the App Store, then I'm sure he would be happy to be your wingman in making this happen and hopefully not deleting all of your pictures accidentally. Oopsie.
Right. Okay. I will see what I can do, and if I can, call back. Thank you so much.
All right, Jessica, remember it's Files by Google. Just remember that.
Yep, I already downloaded the app as we spoke.
Oh, you're awesome. Well, actually, wait a minute. If you already if you already downloaded the app, just open it up right now.
Well,
I did. No, I'm cleaning 598 MB, but I don't know how much space that's actually going to clean up on my phone.
Oh, it'll clean up all of it. Just literally tell it to do that, and it'll do its magic. It'll take about an hour, but it'll do it.
Okay. I will report back. Maybe I'll report back next week.
All right. We're here.
Great. Thank you, Jessica.
Have a glorious day.
Awesome. Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Jessica.
And welcome, right. Rachel.
Okay. Bye-bye.
While we wait just a second for Rachel to get back on, we're doing our fund drive for donations, our Essential Radio fund drive, wgxc.org/donate. Please jump in, donate, help us out so we can reach our goals for the month so that we can continue, the radio station can continue to bring you quality programming from a diverse and awesome perspective. If you listen to the shows, there are a lot of things on this radio station you're not going to hear in any other form. It definitely requires and deserves your support. So please go to wgxc.org/donate and jump on board. And here we are with Rachel.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Hi, Rachel. Rachel. Where are you calling from?
Phoenix. I have a question about two very disturbing things that happened to me today on social media.
Oh my!
This is
we need George Takei, however you say his name, for him to go. Oh my!
You did pretty good yourself. We don't need him. Isn't he leftist anyway? So basically, I was told by Instagram twice today that my posts had fake news, and they were posting a fact check next to both of my posts. And if I continue to post fake news, they're going to ban me. And, you know, I'm a pretty regular person. I don't post a lot of radical stuff. I don't compare the Democrats to the KKK and memes, you know. But these two posts I had done were merely clearly satire. They were funny. You know, one of them said, you know, why do all the people, or shouldn't all the people who refuse to wear masks be dead by now? You know, I mean, it's stupid. It's funny. It's obviously satire. So since, you know, the social media program platforms are now threatening to ban you for posting satire, which is effectively telling conservatives you're not allowed to post conservative humor. That's exactly what it's doing. So what are we supposed to do? You know, I'm on Parler, but, you know, it pretty much sucks. And what do you guys recommend?
Bill, could I field this one?
Please do.
I'm eminently more qualified than you, particularly on this one. When I was a weekly columnist for Forbes for 8 years until they closed down their political vertical. And they had a strict policy, no satire. And while they're right, they're sort of barely center right. Back in the days when the Weekly Standard, they would have a back page where they would have a satirical article, and they would have it branded in great big letters, satire. So let me just say here that this is not ideological. I don't think this is ideological. I think that the publishers from various different ideologies and various different media have discovered that many of their readers are very literal minded and miss the joke. And they interpret what you intend as satire as straight up reporting. And so this is not censorship of the right. This is a company policy that says whenever we let people post satire, we end up with a lot of unhappy readers, a lot of confused readers, and a lot of blowback.
And so it's not good for us. It's not good for our mission. It's not good for the brand to permit this to go on. So I have two suggestions for you here, Rachel, and I just want, or maybe three. The suggestion number one is don't post satire on social media. Number two is if you really feel a compulsion to post satire, I really want you to go to GoDaddy or somewhere, another provider of domain names, and see if you can get satire.com or satire.us or satire. You name it. There are a lot of things that come after the dot now, and set up your own website and your own social media platform to produce satire under a brand that is very explicitly satire. Thereby, anybody who comes to satire.us and mistakes what you're doing for straight up fake news reporting is like they've been warned. Plus, you're the owner, so you can get away with anything since the FCC has not exerted its jurisdiction over the internet, at least not yet. So don't post satire. If you need to post satire, create your own venue for the posting of satire that is clearly labeled as such. And the third thing is just remember a league of their own. There's no crying in baseball. So when you find yourself called out or tagged out on a social media platform, these are companies that are trying very, very hard to please the maximum number of their millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people. They're a business. And you may be smarter and wittier than the average bear, but that doesn't give you grounds to accuse them of ideological censorship. If you take a close look at what it is they're doing, they're attempting to run their company in ways that are most beneficial to their market and to their shareholders. So if you don't like it, go, you know, take your ball and bat and go home and set up your own pro satire site. That is my lecture to you for, as someone who has worked in old legacy media and knows that satire is a very volatile thing. And unless you're an explicitly satirical site like the Babylon Bee, which also gets into trouble for it but doesn't care, or The Onion, or a, you know, pure satire site, then, you know, most publishers don't want to mess with satire because it's a recipe for trouble. So please set up a satire site and be even funnier than the Babylon Bee, which is one of my favorite sites in the whole world. And they all lived happily ever after, the end. Rachel,
I have my own input about this.
Okay, but before you do, it's Rachel, it's Rachel's turn.
Oh, all I wanted to say is, and by the way, thank you, that's excellent advice. That makes me think I should just slap the word satire on any of these memes if I ever want to keep posting them.
That's brilliant, and it may or may not save you, but it improves your chances of not being deplatformed a lot if you do it in the beginning. This is satire, this is not news. And at the end, saying this was satire, this was not news, no guarantees, but that might go a long way toward inoculating you. Bill, do you have some foolish advice for this innocent
child? I have very sound advice. I won't argue. I choose not to argue whether or not the platforms are biased or not biased. They are what they are. You have to get around all that. I think, Benko, you've noted that, you know, we've used the platform and we've built pages that have hundreds of thousands of people on them, and we reach millions of people a month through Facebook with some of our efforts. So I recognize personally, because I use the platform a lot and I'm on it probably more than Benko is, that there are
and you've been thrown into Facebook jail many more times than I have.
I've been thrown in twice, and so I recognize and understand the frustration. When it comes to things like satire, there's an algorithm they obviously don't have enough bandwidth to have people literally look at your post. A human being might look at that and think, man, that's just funny. But they don't have the bandwidth, and they never will have the bandwidth. So you make it easier for them by recognizing that their algorithm has to detect things that really are fake. That's a value for them. That's their company. So you just kind of have to deal with it, work around it. And I used to buck heads a lot with it until I realized that if I'm going to use the tool, I kind of have to.
And I, you did not realize it until the wise Ralph Benko counseled you that if you're going to play in their sandbox, you have to follow their rules. Admit it, Bill. You were not smart enough to figure this out for yourself. I had to guide you.
Okay. I was smart enough to figure it out for myself, but I wasn't smart enough to not be a bullhead about it. So I stopped being a bullhead because one thing Ralph did make me know is that in my case, I really need the tool. So if I didn't need the tool, I wouldn't care. That's the bottom line. As far as if you run a post satire posted on a site that allows that, you're probably not going to start your own social network just to do satire. Although I think Rachel Does Satire.com is an awesome website.
Would you guys help me? I don't have any money to pay you, but I think it'd be fun. Will you guys do it for me?
Absolutely not, Rachel. We are the founders of the Capitalist League, and that means we are mercenary SOBs, and we will absolutely not help you for free. There,
it could be
sorry
like a charity
that.
Thing. Jeez. It could be like a charity thing or something.
Okay, Bill's got a soft heart, so Bill will help you out.
I do. I have three soft hearts in my refrigerator.
Uh-huh. So unless you want to risk being the fourth of those soft hearts, Rachel, I think you need to find something to barter with him since you don't have
any. And while we're on the subject of soft hearts, let's not forget WGXC.org/donate. We are in the middle of a central radio fund drive. So let's get on it.
And by the way, just to be clear, WGXC itself is nonprofit and it's community service minded and it's a relational, it's a relationship thing. So if you listen to WGXC, you're in a relationship, whether you like it or not. And so it would be a wonderful thing for you to be as supportive of WGXC with a few dollars a month. I think, you know, $10 a month is something like a quarter, 25 cents a day. I'm not so good at math, Bill. Would you get out your calculator and try to figure this out?
I won't. It's very cheap. But
it's
I
not cheap. It's very affordable, please. It's high very quality.
Benko, listen, I have a question for you. Speaking of relationship, what your suggestion is, all of you listening to this radio right now,
yes. You're using your hypnotist voice, Bill. I can tell.
Have a relationship with us.
And therefore, like you should. That's right. And therefore, you should support our host, WGXC, by going to WGXC.org and finding a way to become a sustaining member by signing up to have them charge your credit card with whatever is comfortable, whatever you can afford, once a month to keep WGXC thriving as the community treasure that it is.
Yeehaw. All right. We got Michael from Maine who is coming in on his pony.
Hey, our UFO guy. I recognize him. Michael from Maine. Weren't we talking about, they're not called UFOs anymore, Michael. What are they called? He's been abducted. I was afraid of that.
I'm very suspicious now.
I think they're called UAPs.
UAB? That sounds so boring.
UAPs. I know.
UAP?
You know, UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Oh my goodness.
Which is unidentified
more. Flying objects is perfectly fine.
Well, considering that, you know, you still use R2-D2 as your cell phone, I would think that that was what you would think.
I do not use R2-D2 as my cell phone.
Well, that's not what C-3PO
tells
me.
I'm sure that you use a Texas Instruments calculator for your cell phone.
No, I use a TRS.
Still trying to figure out why I keep punching the numbers in, but nobody's answering.
Yeah, well, you're the one with that curly cord on your phone. But I think I probably use TRS 8000.
Yeah. No, listen, there was a time. Speaking of tech news from the good old days, they used to sell fake. You used to have, if you had a car phone, you needed a special antenna that had a little curly thing on it. They used to sell fake antennas so it would look like you had a car phone. But
cool. There
was no car phone. It was just an antenna. So you see all these cars around with this antenna, and not a single one of them had an actual car phone. Remember they were car phones? And even when cell phones first came out, for a while, people would use their cell phone. They would still refer to it as a car phone.
Yeah.
Remember the good old, I got a my first cell phone I got was in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
And when I had a cell phone, I remember going to an event at my kid's school, so it was like 97, and everybody was like, "Oh, wow, you have a cell phone." Of course, it was a big honking thing that I had to have three guys help carry in.
Right. Yeah, and you've still got it.
I still have it, yeah.
You still have it, yeah, I know.
I'm using it right now to talk on
the
radio.
Using it right now.
See how
get
how
that.
Good it sounds?
It yeah. So whatever happened to Michael from Maine? Did he get abducted by his UFOs? Michael from Maine, if your cell phone is muted, unmute it. The mute factor is not really a plus on radio.
I think we have
radio.
Another caller.
Okay.
Sorry, Michael. No, we don't. Do we have Michael? I have a... Oh, no. I had my spy camera, by the way. I have a spy camera at the radio station so that I can spy on Tom. So the man behind the curtain is not...
Poor Tom.
Okay, so we'll move on.
Yeah, I'm. By the way, Bill,
Michael,
just for
if
the
you're
record,
hearing us,
I'm on a TRS 80, which is which was a state of the art computer back in the days of Radio Shack.
I thought you were on a HAL 9000.
Are you cleared for that information? Yes, when I was joyriding around Jupiter a few years ago, I found an abandoned spaceship. And it was empty. Nobody was in there, but there was I salvaged the HAL 9000 computer from it. It was just cheaper than buying a new iPhone. And it's been, treating me very well so long as I keep my helmet on whenever I exit the craft.
Well, for a radio law audience, Mr. Ralph Benko, nobody has ever witnessed him eating or doing anything normal human beings would do. All right, we have Andy, WGXC host. Come on in, Andy.
Hello.
Hello, Andy.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. Andy, tell us about your show.
You are another WGXC superstar. So.
This is Andy Reid, the famous Andy Reid. You've probably seen his name in lights.
In Times Square.
Probably not at the post office. Is that right, Andy?
That's a different Andy Reid. I'm the other Andy Reid.
Awesome.
So Andy Reid, the football manager, not me.
Tell the very few uninitiated listeners about your show.
Catskill Cabin Conversations. We air, several times, I think we air in the month. Catskill Cabin Conversations, guests come on our show and they talk about some of the songs they would like to take with them on a Catskill Cabin getaway. Four songs, four items, and we have a good time and we play our songs. It's a really good show. Tune in, folks.
And what days and times is it on? You may have mentioned it, but I didn't quite hear it.
Say that again.
What days and times is your show on?
What time's the show on?
What day do you broadcast, Andy?
We broadcast on a Thursday at 7 o'clock in the evening. So
7 p.m. on Thursday.
The third Thursday of the month. And we've been on the go now for 6 years. 6 years wow. We've been doing this show. So
this is on the third Thursday of the month at 7 p.m., Andy Reid. Listen, you mentioned a cabin. Do you guys have technology in your cabin?
You're not allowed to take any technology to the cabin. No technology, no animals, no humans. You're on your own.
You don't need no technology, do you, Andy?
You don't need it. All you need is bear spray.
Very good. Now, Andy, you have an awesome accent. I'm sure that you hear this all the time. And I'm going to ask you this, and I don't want you to have me, thrown out of a window for asking this, but is it Scottish or Irish?
Oh,
well, Bill, you tell me.
For shame. Oh, this is pure Scot. This is a pure Scotsman.
This is a true Scotsman. Is that not true, Andy?
I'm Scottish.
Yes, and the Scots are...
I probably should not step foot in Scotland next week, right?
Never. No, not ever for the rest of your life. Boy, you can't tell the difference.
I'm Scottish. I'm the true Highlander.
Yes, clearly so. Listen, the Scots invented the most important invention in the history of inventions, Scotch, number one. Number two, they invented capitalism, since Adam, who is our icon at the capitalistleague.com, our one of our projects. And so since Adam Smith basically invented capitalism, he is to capitalism what Jesus is to Christianity. And James Braid invented coined the term hypnosis. So show some respect, Collier. Show some respect as you confront one of your betters.
Yeah, we invented the tire. We invented Tar Macadam, Black Talk. We invented penicillin, the light bulb, the television. You name it.
The Scots invented haggis.
Haggis.
Andy, thank you for calling in.
Haggis is a little animal that runs around the mountains, and one leg is bigger than the other, so that they can run around the mountain.
You're a great reason to be contributing to wgxc.org/donate. Bill, is that exactly right?
That is very correct.
Yeah,
I do like Scotch eggs? You know, with the sausage type thing around the soft boiled egg. I can eat that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but between capitalism and Scotch and Scottish eggs, it's terrible. It would be a great way to support the persistence of Western civilization for our listeners to go to WGXC.org.
Yeah, I was
going to say
that you've just listed a few things that are great for the all part of a healthy diet.
A healthy diet is 90% good Scotch whiskey and 10% Scotch eggs. But we have other callers here, Andy. Let's give you the last word.
Well, okay. Have a great evening, guys. You're doing a great job. And maybe one day we can have one of you guys on the radio show.
Oh, you should. I think you should have me on because I don't know anything, and you could stump me easily.
Yes, you can play Stump the Collier. Thank you for calling in, Andy. It's your show sounds like
absolutely a
Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on WGXC, correct?
Have a wonderful evening, guys.
Thank you. You too. Bill Collier.
Yes, I know. That was horrible when I asked him.
It was horrible. You couldn't detect a true Scotsman just by the sound of him. We're going to have to get you schooled.
Well, you know, I can't always hear very clearly, so it may have been I'm going to defend myself on that basis. But
you're going to defenestrate yourself on that basis?
I should be defenestrated. I already said that I should be thrown out of a window, so...
That's true. Yes. You're not wrong.
By the way, defenestrate is actually one of my favorite words.
Well, as a man who lives on the wrong side of the Overton window, I can understand why.
Right. Banco, do you know what my favorite word in English is?
And can we say this over the air without getting WGXC into trouble?
You can say it over the air. There's nothing wrong with it.
Bring it on.
Plenipotentiary.
Ooh.
Tell me that is not a great
fancy
word.
That is very fancy. But listen,
it is my favorite English word.
Our hordes of listeners may not have tuned in for vocabulary lessons from you. What's the latest in tech news?
I find that technology continues to grow exponentially. How's that? Is that a good answer? By the way,
no, that's a terrible answer.
.org,
it's vacuous.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's vacuous and beneath you. WGXC.org/donate. Donate. And that's where you can go to sign up to put your credit card in for whatever you can afford to become a sustaining donor. Just like you, Bill Collier, are, and just like our producer, Laura, my best girl, and I derivatively are. So, you know, WGXC is the crown jewel of the airwaves of the Mid-Hudson Valley, or maybe Upper Hudson Valley. I'm not strong on geography. So imagine the pleasure you would get by just signing up as a sustaining member for $14 a month. You can propel them to new heights of greatness. If that's too rich for you, for $5 a month, you can feel really good by letting WGXC know that they are loved and that they can continue to serve the community and send out their good, good, good vibrations throughout the counties around Accra. So, Bill, this probably means you didn't. You were not watching the news this week. You were probably focusing in on the recovery of our commander-in-chief or something other than technology, or maybe just nothing interesting happened in technology this week.
Listen, Banco, you know the real news. You know the news that matters, right?
The fact that the Capitalist League has now gotten to 138. Tech Talk or TikTok? Would you please clarify?
TikTok. Are you following TikTok?
Well, my son just sent me a cute little TikTok video, which I actually went to. It was about some dad who was turning the circuit breakers on and off on his daughter's party, his tween daughter's party, doing a Ouija board in her room with her little friends. And so it was really very darling. But that was kind of one of my, I think that was my second interaction with TikTok. What do you do with TikTok when you're not doing tech talk?
On TikTok, I tend to watch the funny videos, which is kind of what TikTok is about. I'm just concerned that TikTok, the sale hasn't gone in yet.
it hasn't been official yet, and I will feel better when this issue is resolved. I am amused beyond measure, as I noted in one of our previous shows, that two superpowers are fighting over an app that lets people make goofy videos. Who would have thunk that? I'm also amused that the United States government is worried about our privacy. No offense to NSA guys, as I have always said.
We love the NSA guys. We think all the NSA guys deserve a big, huge raise, a promotion, a performance bonus, and a Presidential Medal of Honor. Right, Bill?
Absolutely. Yes, and if you could move the van out of my neighborhood, the neighbors know why you're here, and they know that I'm the target, and it's embarrassing. I'm just
Maybe, but
and your Wi-Fi signal saying NSA spy van looking for Bill Collier doesn't help me one bit.
No, I know, but you've essentially bored them into a state of complete stupefaction. So since I am eavesdropping on the NSA while the NSA is eavesdropping on you, I can tell you with a great deal of certainty that you've bored them out of your neighborhood and they will be heading out. So please, would you please up your game and be more interesting if you really want to be surveilled?
I'm not concerned. So it looks like Oracle and, Oracle's founder, Larry Ellison, is kind of leading the charge to take TikTok over. And Michael from Maine is back. I wonder if Michael is going to talk about alien TikTok.
Well, here's the thing. Michael, being our resident UFO buff, will probably know that the Navy, which you are a veteran of, Bill, took videos of some unidentified aerial phenomena that ended up being called the Tic Tacs because they looked like the white Tic Tacs on the radar screen. So, Michael from Maine, take it away.
All right. I have a question. I'm going to ask it and then hop off and listen on the radio to the answer. So I'm watching a great show called Halt and Catch Fire. And without giving anything away, at the end of season three, they talk about building the World Wide Web. So I think people sort of think the World Wide Web is this thing that exists, like the oceans or something like that. But apparently it's actually something that's built. It's like an infrastructure. So my question is simple and also very, very difficult. What is the World Wide Web? I mean, how is it built? Is it a network of servers, or who owns it, who controls it? So I'm just going to hop off and listen to the answer to that.
Wow. I think you've
stumped Collier. You know, I'm going to – I actually have an answer. It's like asking who owns the electric grid or who owns the phone grid. There are, and actually, it's even more difficult than that, because the World Wide Web is its trunk lines, its server farms, its nodes, its so many different things. Internet. There are many different layers and many jurisdictions. There are countries that, you know, like China, that has the great, what is it, the
Great Firewall.
Great Firewall of China. So they've essentially developed their own internet. But the internet is it is things. It does, you know, people say, oh, well, I will exist in cyberspace. Well, cyberspace is your phone, it's a server. It's your computer. It is a physical thing. And there are certainly large websites and internet properties that you could actually physically locate where their little pixels are. And if you could get into that building and hit the off switch, why, they would disappear from the, quote, interweb. So that's my short answer. I don't know. Ralph probably has a much more deeper and more philosophical question that will be more satisfying than my rather mundane technical answer. Go ahead, Ralph.
rather mundane and totally incomprehensible. So,
absolutely correct and technically true in every way.
And pointless. Yes. Okay.
Stab in the dark.
About 26 years ago, there was a British guy working in Switzerland by the name of Tim Berners-Lee. Now, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, who I had the honor of meeting about 2 years ago, and he invented something called HTTP. You may have seen this in your browser window, which stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol. And it was basically a way for computers to access files on other computers in a way that did not require the keying in of code, all sorts of complicated coding phrases, making it as soon as a gentleman or rogue named Mark Andreessen, he invented what was called the web browser, with a company called Mosaic, which then became Netscape and then got its lunch eaten by Microsoft with Microsoft Internet Explorer, which has now been in turn devoured by Google Chrome, which is now on its way to being supplanted by Microsoft Edge. Those are ways of reading the web. So Sir Tim just figured out this very simple, efficient way for computers to share files between each other. And it really, for everything that all that complicated geeky stuff that Bill said, all the web is hypertext transfer protocol. And yes, it is on a bunch of things called servers, which is a fancy name for a kind of computer that that process all the signals that go back and forth. One part I don't really understand is when Tim was telling us the story of his invention of the World Wide Web, he said that he had put it onto port 2784, and I've been curious ever since, but I haven't asked Collier because I wouldn't expect him to know what the hell it means to have created the internet on port 2784. So, Michael from Maine, I hope that between Bill's incomprehensible gobbledygook and my simple, lucid explanation, you will find either solace or at least enlightenment.
Actually, my description was more accurate and enlightened, and I feel that people who listen to it have probably had their IQ raised. However, fortunately, if we're worried about a bunch of smarter people taking over the country, if you listen to Ralph's version, you probably have a lower IQ at this moment. So I think it all kind of evens itself out. It's interesting, though. Actually, you're not wrong, and I'm not wrong. It's interesting how you can see. I see the internet as an ethereal manifestation of physical things, which would be the servers, the trunk lines. So when I see the internet in my mind, I actually see buildings, server farms, nodes. That's how I see the internet. I really don't see it as,
which of course is not the internet. It's the infrastructure that supports the internet.
It's to me, the internet is the infrastructure, period.
Of course, because you're a Neanderthal, and that is literally just for faithful listeners.
It is a proven scientific fact, according to 23andMe, that I have
more Neanderthal blood,
DNA than 99% of the population.
Which probably explains why you're a populist conservative Republican, because that's what Neanderthals evolved into, the Homo sapiens evolved into progressives, and Neanderthals like you evolved into conservatives.
So I'm like the hippies,
something like that.
I would agree with that. I think I'm. I personally, objectively, think I'm a fine human being.
Well, at least a fine Neanderthal. I'm not sure that's exactly a human being, but it's the next best thing. So, Michael from Maine, if you really care, to read the actually fascinating backstory of the invention of the internet by Tim Berners-Lee, and how, you know, nobody was interested, but he pushed it forward anyway, and it really caught on big. He gave it to the world free. People have made trillions of dollars off of his invention, although not him. At 2bithistory.org, TWOBITHISTORY.org, you can read a fascinating article published on June 10th, 2018, called The World Wide Web and Its Inventor. So
I think
God bless and Godspeed.
Listen, I think if Michael gets a vote, he's going to choose my explanation over yours. Callers, well, we're almost at the end of the show. We only have 4.5 glorious minutes. I would like to spend a little bit of time.
Wait a minute. That's enough time for one more caller. Don't you
filibuster? No, because I have something I want to say.
I'm sure you do. You always do.
I am very quiet and reserved, as anybody listening knows. But if you will go kindly to WGXC.org/donate and participate in our Central Radio Fund Drive, it would be most appreciated. And if you would like to let us know what you think about which one of us has the better understanding of the interwebs, please call us next week, and please do let us know which one of us won. I already know who won, because I'm sure that my phone is already getting messages from people absolutely dazzled by my
narcissistic tendencies. Yes, your narcissistic tendencies are unrivaled, Mr. Collier, no question about it. That said, if somebody wants to essentially cast a moral vote for me as the superior of the two hosts of Tech Talk, go to wgxc.org/donate and sign up to put your credit card on there for whatever sum is comfortable for you on a monthly sustaining basis, $1, $5, $10, $15. And that way, WGXC will know that I am the master. And Bill, all I have to say to you is Klaatu Barada Nikto.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure that is something hideous.
No, it's not hideous. It's what they told Gort the robot. After Michael Rennie got killed, the female lead in The Day the Earth Stood Still had been instructed to tell Gort the robot Klaatu Barada Nikto, which cued him not to destroy the Earth. So I am now telling you, Klaatu Barada Nikto, don't destroy the Earth. Instead, go to wgxc.org /donate and help to sustain this wonderful cultural treasure.
As you know, I just want to serve humanity.
Yes, it's a cookbook. I know how to serve man.
Very good. So next week we'll get more into some tech news. We'll be hopefully by then we'll know if TikTok, if the deal goes through. A judge did stop the closing. I know that you think that I'm obsessed with TikTok.
I don't. I know you're obsessed with TikTok.
But really, I mean, what could be funner? I mean, honestly, what could be funner? You just sit and look after crazy, goofy video after crazy, goofy video, and you're not thinking about all the insanity that's happening in the world at this time. And I hope when you listen to our show and to all the shows on WGXC, I really hope that you kind of escape the mind trap of constant news alarms and alerts and everything else. Just kind of step outside of that for a second and absolutely just enjoy the moment of just being a human, just kind of taking in something interesting and fun without having to think about all the stresses of work and paying bills and who's going to win elections and all that detritus that in a thousand years nobody will remember or care about.
This explains why you're so far behind in your work and why you haven't socially promoted
the latest memes over at the Capitalist
League on Facebook. And we have 20 seconds to go. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to our show this week. Thank you all those who donated to WGXC, and thank you to all those who have called in. Say good night, Ralph.
Good night, Ralph.